This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. For a few years now, a concept about a community has been working with City of Ann Arbor, Washtenaw County officials about getting permission to build it. It's different. It challenges a lot of government's rules and regulations about buildings and neighborhoods. It's called Viridian at County Farm. It's the brainchild of Matthew Grokoff. He's the founder of Thrive Collaborative, backing the project, and he joins me now. So, full disclosure, we go back a long time, more than a decade now. We did a series of radio and video stories about your net zero house. So you're taking that smaller concept to a whole neighborhood. Eliminating greenhouse gas emissions, that's great. Better handling resources like water, that's great. That's what you've done at your house. But doing it in a whole community, that's a big project. How can you get that done?
Yeah, we do go back. I remember we were flushing rubber duckies down toilets.
Right, checking out low-flow toilets, see if
so
they work.
We're really taking this whole thing of, like, how do you scale these living buildings? Right? My 110-year-old house was able to achieve net zero energy. But then how do you scale that to the neighborhood scale? So we've registered the project for the Living Community Challenge, which is an offshoot of the Living Building Challenge. How do you create a world of living buildings inside of living communities? And by using the framework of the Living Building Challenge, we're able to address all kinds of things from materials, healthy materials, and net zero energy, water, and beauty. Doing all of these things in a performance metric rather
than. Let me ask you about the beauty part, because I want to know, what would Viridian look like if I could visit it today?
It would be gorgeous. First of all, it would be built for humans, not for cars. It would be scaled to that human scale. It would have food grown all over the neighborhood. It would have all the front porches facing inward onto greenways that lead up into County Farm Park.
Now, this sounds a little like some of the co-housing units around here.
So what's exciting about this is it's really taking some of the best practices that we've seen around the world from energy, water, materials, affordable housing, all of these things, and using those best practices inside of one neighborhood. So it does have some of those elements of co-housing without that same kind of governance.
Right. And no natural gas, no your own electricity, apparently, right? I mean, that's the idea. It's net zero.
Exactly. So this neighborhood is actually built for the future. So one of the precedents we're setting is that this is an all-electric neighborhood. There'll be no gas, no combustion appliances of any kind within this neighborhood. So we're using things like really efficient heat pumps and induction cooktops, and then solar to power it all. And we're even exploring things like a net zero energy microgrid.
So all the houses would be basically independent. The whole community would be independent, or most of it.
Yeah, so it's not really off-grid, but what it is it's the future of what energy is. It is it's the networked community of energy. So you can harvest all of the energy that a building needs or that a house needs or a neighborhood needs right on site. You can store some of that energy on site. If the grid goes down, the neighborhood can continue to run. The exciting thing is that the ability to give utility companies access to the control of these electrons, so they could pull energy out when they need it or dump energy in when they need it or even control what's called demand response.
Okay, because of your own storage.
Exactly. And beyond even just storage. So it's really now the technology that we need is all there for the resilient future grid. It is all there. And it's kind of like the Internet of Energy. What is now emerging is all the software and the regulatory frameworks to get us there. And the regulatory frameworks are really the last frontier.
You have at your house, your net zero house again, have been dealing with stormwater runoff, and you're talking about the Viridian as well. Why is that important?
It's important because we need to restore the ecological water flow. The conventional development model is deeply flawed. If we were to do this just according to the letter of every code, where nothing is connected to each other in that code, we would end up with a giant parking lot with some buildings in it and the minimum number of trees that were required by the city to have. Instead, what we do is we follow the raindrop and we see where that raindrop was going to go if the development was never there. And then we take that water and we put it back into the ground using all kinds of biological systems and natural engineering. So we're working with InSight Design here in Ann Arbor and with Biohabitats, a national company that restores the ecology of the neighborhood.
The Viridian plan calls for 149 residential units on 14 acres. That sounds a little tight to me, unless we're talking about, you know, mid-rises. What do these units look like?
No, it depends on your perspective. There's some people that were saying it's like, well, there's not enough units on that property. And others are saying, well, it's like, that's really dense. And what we're doing is using a cluster design. So less of it is used for pavement. Less of it is used for parking. We have the required number of parking, but we're hiding that inside little places. We're tucking it in, and we're using permeable pavement and things like that to, again, so that the neighborhood is built for the humans, not for the machines.
So are these going to look like houses or condos, or what do they look like?
Yes.
Yes. A little bit. So it's mixed use, sort of.
So yeah. So we are doing it kind of in a mixed way. One of the challenges in the conventional development model is that they're always economically segregated. So if Toll Brothers or Pulte Homes builds a neighborhood, they're going to build a neighborhood of all $700,000 homes over here, $400,000 homes over here. And then if we do affordable housing somewhere, all the affordable housing is going to be pushed into one place. And Washtenaw County is actually one of the most economically segregated places in the nation. And what we're trying to do here is see how can we hit in market rate homes various price points in that and get people in at different ends. So we'll have everything from what we're calling village homes, which are large single-family homes, net zero energy, and all the way down to micro units. We're calling the Nest, which will articulate on the street as a large wealthy person's home, but inside there could be 10 to 12 different units that are very, very small, but have everything that you need, highly, highly efficient, really beautiful, and then a common space like a chef's kitchen, induction cooktop, flat screen TV, all of those things that you can have your Thanksgiving dinner, and then a big wraparound porch. So you have some of the same luxury amenities that are available to somebody living in a $750,000 house, and then a bunch of different things, townhouses and walk-up flats and things like that.
So we've been talking about how it's difficult because you're talking about concepts that have not been applied before at the community level. What are the major obstacles to building, you know, mixed income, net zero, environmentally friendly, neighborly community?
Well, I had a meeting with the mayor of Seattle years back, and he said that when they were trying to replicate the living building challenge in other buildings in Seattle, they realized that sustainability was illegal. And it's not that. It's that we're trying to build this 21st century neighborhood with 1950s rules. And those rules were created for very different reasons than what we're trying to achieve now.
So it's a constant, it sounds like you're in a hurdle race. You're going to be jumping hurdles all the way through.
Yeah, and what we've done is, so we're taking this really beautiful middle path here because we have to get this done within the existing framework of financing, of markets, of regulations, code, all of these things. But what we're able to do is work towards avoiding breaking the rules, because you can't do that, and work towards elevating the rules. And so when we sit down with people in the city staff, and the city of Ann Arbor has been tremendously cooperative and really, really wonderful. They've been a real collaborator in this process. And so there's not a lot of barriers. I think the biggest risk involved in the project is that if we don't learn the lessons from this to make it easier for all developers to do this, then it's not going to be replicated. And at the end of the day, we are in a climate crisis. We are far, far behind on the city's goals in every single way. And this is a way that we can create a platform to accelerate those goals, which I have to add, this is exciting news. The United Nations actually just included us in the Earth Institute from Columbia University. Created a program of accelerating the sustainable development goals because they see globally everyone is falling behind on those. So they went around the world in search of about 100 projects or so that were exemplary of what can we do to achieve these sustainable development goals and hit our Paris targets. And they selected Viridian, one of six in the United States, to be a model. So it's pretty exciting.
Matthew Grokoff is the founder of the Thrive Collaborative, which is pursuing the concept for a net zero community called Viridian at County Farm. You can find out more about it by going to ViridianCountyFarm.com. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to be here, Lester.